Welcome to Yanker Jacks with Brian Swope.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Part of the Gateway City Sports Podcast Network.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Yakker Jacks this week. This is Brian Swope, your host, Papa Swope on Twitter. So glad you guys are here with us again this week and joining us. It's going to be a fun one. I got a fun guest on and I think we're going to enjoy the conversation. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy. You got to get covered. And you got to make sure that the things that you appreciate and the things that you love in life are taken care of. And so you need insurance. Not just any insurance will do, though. You've got to have Allstate. That's why the Wiley Group has two locations in Festus and Arnold to serve you. They offer home, auto, boat, motorcycle, business, life insurance, investments, and so much more. They use a customized approach that is tailor-made to meet your needs. So give Sean and his team a call today at 636-764-6294. They can help you with an insurance quote right over the phone. Or if you just want to talk sports, man, they can do that too. Don't have time to call? Just email Sean at seanwiley@allstate.com and learn about the coverage options that you need to keep you and your family protected. And remember, you're in good hands with Allstate. Hey, so Cardinals back at it after the All-Star break and at home take 2 of 3 from the Giants. So it kind of ended taking 2 of 3 from the Giants, then right back at it taking 2 of 3 from them again at home. You got to wonder what's really going on with this team. I mean, we've said it all along, you know, that the talent is there, that, you know, they can do this if they can just put it together. The offense is just has been horrendous. But given the fact that you've got players on this team that are good players, you don't expect it to stay like this. Now, thinking about it, right now, as we speak, the Cardinals are beating up on the Cubs 8-2, and so I think that is, you know, this is what we want to see from the offense. We want to see them come alive. We want to see them, you know, put up some big numbers, throw up some crooked numbers, you know, on the scoreboard. And it makes me wonder, where has this offense been all year? But again, at the same time, baseball seasons are funny. Teams are funny. You can go one game and score a bunch of runs and then go another game and not score anything at all. It's just the nature of the game. But, you know, we don't expect a team like this to be averaging, you know, just over 2 or 3 runs a game. You know, a team like this, with this kind of offensive star power, should be, you know, averaging like 4 for at least 4 or 5 runs a game. I mean, they should be putting up big numbers, and they just haven't been. But hopefully this game right here is going to be, you know, more of the norm moving forward. Hopefully this is more what we see out of this team, and I think that they've got it in them. I mean, they just do. This team is too talented to not continue to score runs and to, you know, put up big numbers. It's the way that I see it going. It's the way that I think everybody saw it going before the season started, as soon as they made the Arenado trade. I think everybody thought at that moment, okay, the Cardinals offense is going to be good. It's going to be good. And we just got to have patience, I think. I've been one of the biggest critics of Jeff Albert. I still don't think Jeff Albert's a good hitting coach. I think that they need somebody else to fill that role, somebody who is not quite so analytically driven. I mean, analytics has their place in the game, and I could go on about this forever and ever and ever. You know, analytics has a place in the game. I believe that. But if you get too overly, you know, analytical, you start to miss some of the other parts of the game that aren't all about numbers. There's definitely a mental aspect of the game. There's a physical aspect of the game that's just not in numbers. There's things that are not quantifiable in terms of numbers. You just can't quantify that. You know, someone's work ethic, the ability for somebody to focus when the time comes. You know, these are not things that you can quantify numbers-wise. And Jeff Albert, I don't think, understands that. Or if he does, he doesn't put enough emphasis on it and doesn't address those issues with some of the hitters. And maybe that's part of the problem. Maybe that's the reason why you get some of these guys and there's so much information. That's one of the things that I can't remember which player it was, but they said there was so much information that was given to them that it's hard to swallow it all. They have so overcomplicated the game of baseball that it is not funny. I mean, it is so overcomplicated. And sometimes you've got to just not overcomplicate things. Just dumb it down a little bit. You know, my dad used to tell me all the time, you know, he said, follow the KISS rule. Keep it simple, stupid. And, you know, that's what we need to do. I think the analytical world that has completely flooded the game of baseball is making it so complicated. You put so much stuff in these players' heads, so many different things to worry about. You know, when it comes down to it, see the ball hit the ball. You know, the other stuff is fine. The other stuff can help you evaluate a player. But when it comes to just playing the game of baseball, keep it simple. Have fun. You're getting paid to play a game. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. I mean, good grief. If I was getting paid to play the game of baseball, you think I'm going to sit there and worry about numbers? The only number I'm going to worry about is the number that's making it into my bank account. I'm not going to worry about the other stuff. You're playing a game. Have fun with it. And I think sometimes we forget that. Or not we. I think the players at the major league level maybe forget it. That it's a game. You are getting paid to play a game. Go out there and enjoy it. Have fun with it. Because the guys that are the most successful are the guys that are out there that are having fun playing the game. And this doesn't just go for baseball. I mean, it goes for anything. I love my job. Absolutely love it. You know, and there are some days where mentally it's very, very grueling. Emotionally, it hits me pretty hard. For those of you that don't know, I work with kids who are in foster care. And so I have to pick them up, go, you know, and take them to visits with their biological parents, you know, and I supervise the visits. And some days it's tough. Some days it's not. You know, I also work with the parents trying to help them get their lives back together. And some days it's mentally grueling and you're just exhausted mentally and emotionally. But I love my job. I love doing what I do. I cannot see myself at this point in time doing anything else. And that's the kind of approach that I think these guys need to take playing the game of baseball. Love your job. Enjoy it. Go out there and have fun doing it. Because you're doing something that so many other people would love to be doing. And, you know, right now, as it stands, I think if the Cardinals win this game, if they end up holding on, which they should, I think they're going to end up being only 8.5 games back. Because I think Milwaukee, I think, is not playing tonight. Yeah, yep, so they'll be 8.5 games back if they beat the Cubs tonight. And so the opportunity to move up the standings, and the opportunity to make up some ground is there. They just need to do it. And, you know, just focus on having fun. enjoy the game, and just have fun with it. You know, it's like I tell my kids all the time, you know, my little guy, Tolly, he's seven, and he tries to play video games with his big brother, Josiah, who's 12. Like, you know, he's 5 years older than him, and he plays with him and Josiah's buddies, and, you know, he always gets frustrated and you know, gets mad and cries when he loses when they're playing games together. But you know what? You know what I tell him? I say, you know what? You need to just have some fun, you know, and just enjoy it. You're not always going to win. And so it's, I don't know. You gotta just enjoy the game, play it, have fun, and don't stress too much. You know, Cardinals, you can do this. Fans, have some hope. Hang in there. It's been rough so far, but I think things are looking up. We'll see. Time will tell. This next stretch of games against the Cubs and Reds is going to be a really telling sign. But most of our series left are against divisional opponents. And so all we got to do is take care of home. If you can take care of home and, you know, play at least 500 ball with everybody else, I think there's a good shot of the Cardinals coming back and taking this division. You know, and I wasn't saying that before. Before I was saying that nobody else was going to catch the Brewers, but I might have to eat a little bit of crow on that one. We'll see. I think that given the opportunity, if with the right conditions, there's a legit shot that the Cardinals could actually pull this off and come back. We'll see. We'll see. Moving on, the NHL expansion draft is coming up, and the Seattle Kraken will be looking to other rosters to pull for them in order to build their team. And so the Blues have come out with their list of players that they've left unprotected for the expansion draft. There were a couple of names that I was a little surprised to see unprotected. The forwards that they left, Sam Annis, Sammy Blais, Tyler Bozak, Kyle Clifford, Mike Hoffman, Tanner Kapsik, Mackenzie McEachran, Curtis McKenzie, Austin Pagansky, Zach Sanford, Jaden Schwartz. I was surprised that they left Jaden Schwartz out there. Nolan Stevens, Vladimir Tarasenko, Nathan Walker. You know, Vladdy has said he wanted out, and, you know, that's something interesting. If the Kraken want to take on that contract, you know, maybe that's going to be mutually beneficial. You know, take that contract off the Blues' hands, and then, you know, they let him walk and, you know, go from there. But, you know, again, at the same time, you know, I got to wonder, you know, are we going to have, you know, we've talked about the potential of bringing Matthew Tkachuk in. You know, we all thought, you know, Vladdy's probably one of those names that would be heading over there to make that happen. But, you know, maybe not. Maybe not. We'll see. Defensemen, Robert Bortuzzo, Vince Dunn, Nico Mikkola, you know, Marco Scandella was left. I mean, you're talking about, you know, some guys who were kind of key pieces. And, you know, Vince Dunn he's got the talent to be a really good defenseman. And I think we've seen it in spurts. And it's just, you know, we'll see. We'll see how he does. But one name that really surprised me that was left open for the draft was goalie Ville Husso. You know, he was in it, as far as I could tell, you know, from the games that I watched, very capable backup. Very, very capable backup to Jordan Binnington. And, you know, he's got the potential to be a starter in this league, I think. And, you know, to let someone like that go would be, I would see it as a blow to this team. Now, whether or not that actually happens and they pick him, maybe there's better options for goalie out there. I don't know. I haven't looked at everybody's lists. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Moving on, looking at some of the other stuff, there's still stuff coming in that about the NFL lawsuit and what's going on with the NFL and the city of St. Louis. This is just a mess, you guys. I mean, it is just a... there's no words to describe it, really. It's just ugly. And, you know, Randy Carricker has said that, you know, the NFL in St. Louis is done. I mean, it's over. Like, that ship has sailed. He said that the NFL wants absolutely nothing to do with the city of St. Louis, and the city of St. Louis wants absolutely nothing to do with the NFL. And, you know, that's sad. It's sad because, to me, St. Louis is one of, if not the greatest sports town in the country. And to see our team, or to see our city have to go again without an NFL team in town, it's heartbreaking as a St. Louis sports fan. But, you know, at the same time, that's the way these things go sometimes. And it sucks. You don't want it to happen. You hate to see it. But, you know, it is what it is. Kroenke is... there's no words. No words. He is just the scum of the earth. Oh my gosh, the guy is just the whole ring. Like, they're like a cartel, the NFL and their ownership. And you know what? Honestly, good riddance. Good riddance to those mobsters, those cartel runners, those purveyors of just greed and just lies. I cannot stand the NFL right now. Cannot stand the NFL right now. And you know what? If you want to bring a team to St. Louis, then you know what? You better do everything that the city asks for. And if you don't want to bring a team, good, fine. Get out of here. Get lost. We don't need you. We don't want you. And we won't shed a tear. You know, this isn't like when the Cardinals left for Arizona. This is different. This is much, much different. And I'm at the point, like when the Cardinals left, I was upset. I was sad. You know, I didn't want to see him go. You know, and when the Rams left, I was just angry. I was so mad. So mad. And now that all of this stuff is coming out, like, I'm sick to my stomach. Sick to my stomach. I'm just so angry, so aggravated, so frustrated. So let me stop there, because if I keep going, I may say something I don't want to say, you know. So anyway, let's move on. I'm really excited today. So let's get to our guest. All right, joining me now on the Holy Smokers guest line is my good friend Mike Stevenson. When it's time to add a little spice to your life, make your next grilling adventure a spiritual experience with Holy Smokers Rub Company. They have several different flavors to choose from, and each one is specially blended for a taste sensation that you will pray never ends. The best part is all proceeds go towards helping families who are going through the process of adopting a child. So look them up on Facebook and be sure to use coupon code GCS10. That's GCS, the number 10, for 10% off your order. Holy Smokers Rub Company, bless your taste buds. So like I said, I got my buddy Mike Stevenson on here, a host of 2 for 3 on the Gateway City Sports Podcast Network. Moose, what's up, man?
Not that much. Just trying to... I'm jumping on like your show and Ron's show, so I don't actually have to do my own show. So it works out. I'm really bad about that. I want to tell everybody I will have something new up soon. It's just life is crazy right now, and I'll just be completely honest. When the little boy wants to play or the wife wants to have a date night, that's just going to take precedence over baseball, as I'm sure everyone will understand.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I tell people all the time, you know, with my 5 kids, it's so busy in our house all the time. Like, and even yesterday, It was, I got home from church and, you know, I've been traveling almost clear over to Indiana to help with a church preaching there. And I get home and there's this teenage girl in our house talking with my wife, and she ends up staying at the house for like 10 hours. And we had had plans to, like, you know, spend some time together yesterday. And I mean, she just really needed to talk. I mean, she really needed, you know, some help and advice. And, you know, my wife is phenomenal at that. So we just kind of like, yeah, okay, time to be there for somebody else. And then, you know, we'll find our time later. But yeah, I know the feeling, man, for sure.
That seems how it always goes. We've been doing the nursery at our church. It feels like it's every Sunday, but, you know, we're just filling in when somebody needs us, mainly because our little boy's crazy and we're like the only ones that can handle him. That's what it feels like. So, like, yeah, yeah, we'll stand in there and make sure he doesn't tear the place down.
Yeah, as long as he's not hanging from the ceiling whenever you're whenever you come to
Cardinals,
pick him up.
Cardinals just ramped it up, by the way, 8-3.
8-3. Awesome. So, yeah, the Cardinals are coming out of the break doing pretty well, taking, you know, 2 or 3 from San Francisco and now taking this one from the Cubs. As it sits right now, because Milwaukee is off tonight, so as it sits right now, that puts us 8.5 games out.
Not insurmountable.
No, not at all. Not at all. And that leads me to my first question. You know, if we have a good week, I mean, you could conceivably see us being, I don't know, maybe between 5 and 7 games out by the end of the week, depending on how Milwaukee does and how we play. You know, we got the Cubs, and I think we go to Cincinnati next. So, I mean, the opportunity's there. So we get past this week, you know, you got the trade deadline coming up a couple of weeks. What do you think they might do? You think they're still going to buy, or you think they'll hold pat for next year?
You know, it's kind of crazy. If they have a good week this week, I think Mo's not going to have a choice. I mean, we've all seen the pictures of the stands. There's nobody there. The games, the tickets for these games are like $6. And we've said, I know I've told you this, and you've said the same thing to me over the last 2 years. The only way DeWitt, Mo, and all them is going to make the kind of moves we want them to make is if you hit them in the pocketbook. And I mean, when you can't sell out a Cardinals game against the Cubs with $6 tickets, that's kind of rough.
Yeah, I was looking at it today, and like you could tell the stadium was half empty. It seemed like, I mean, there was nobody, like, down the first baseline, nobody there, like from like all the way up to like maybe the second level, I think, is when I finally started seeing people, and then I guess they, you know, kind of trickled down, but yeah, there was nobody there tonight. It was crazy.
The last time I remember, so the last losing season they had was 2007, and I don't remember the stands being that empty then.
Right.
And I mean, but I mean, they're also coming off a world championship year and everything else. There's, something's got to change. So I feel like I got two thoughts on this. If they decide, if they have a good week and they're going to make a move, part of me tells me they're going to sign Cole Hamels. I mean, it works, right?
Yeah.
If he looks good and they like him, he's a left-handed pitcher, and he'd slot right in the rotation, like, immediately.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how effective he would be after basically pitching, what was it, one game last season? He showed up for the Braves at, like, the end of the season.
Yeah.
If they do that, I don't see him making a major trade. I don't see him trading for a rental if they do that either.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people would like to see Joey Gallo. You know, what's his name from the Twins?
Berrios.
Yeah. And I don't know. I guess it's going to be, they're going to look at it. They can sign Hamels just with money, because it's what I've said before. The Cardinals have no leverage.
Right.
The starting pitching isn't as bad as it was. KK's coming around. Waino's just going to be Waino. Woodford looked good tonight, and oh man, Wade,
LeBlanc.
I'm blanking out. It's after 10 o'clock.
Wade LeBlanc.
Yeah, LeBlanc. I wanted to say McLeod. I'm like, that's not right. LeBlanc, he's done pretty good over his last few starts. And, you know, it's being that what it is, they'll go, well, they know we're looking for starting pitching, so they're going to try to hold us up. for, you know, the best we can give them, or we can just go sign Cole Hamels and not have to worry about it.
Yeah, and you know, they have a history of signing pitchers like that and doing well. I mean, case in point, Wade LeBlanc. I mean, this year, he's been doing great, you know, for us anyway. And, you know, we've got a little bit of depth still there. The big question for me, and this is what, this is the route that I think they'll go. I think absolutely Hamels is on the table, but I think they're just going to bank on Flaherty and Michael is coming back. And to me, that's always a dangerous,
that's like, a mistake.
No-win. Yeah, it's a no-win strategy when you're counting on somebody coming off of injury. Oblique injuries are notoriously bad for pitchers. It ended Brad Penny's career. You know, yep. When he pitched for us, he had an oblique injury and didn't pitch again. And so I would hate to see, you know, what this is going to end up doing to Flaherty, because he's such a promising young pitcher. I mean, he's already an ace, you know, at the age he is. And so you count on something like that, you know, to come off of that kind of an injury. I just don't know that that's wise. I think they'd have to do something else.
If it's not Cole Hamels, another pitcher I could see them kind of trading for might be Madison Bumgarner. But I don't know how in demand he might be, considering I'm sure the Diamondbacks are going to sell everything they possibly can get any value out of.
Yeah.
As bad as they are. But if they go any route, it's got to be pitching. And if they, it's something we were talking about. We, and I've mentioned this on my show. You know, we have our Twitter DM feed where all of us with Gateway City Sports sit and talk. Mo has to do something different here. The way that he built his team isn't bad. It's not bad at all. I would argue he's done, you know, for the way that he used to build his teams, he's done it very well. I mean, look, we got Goldie, we got Arenado. Still got Waino, still got Yachty, still got a fairly decent farm system. It's not as good as it once was, but that doesn't work anymore. Yeah, you got Goldie. Yeah, you got Arenado, but it takes more than just two guys to compete like that. And yeah. We talk about the Dodgers. You look at the Dodgers' rotation, everybody they got, and everybody they got on the field. And it's not just about money. Some of it's money, but not all of it.
Yeah,
a lot of it's guys they've traded for. A lot of it's And it's smart trades. And I've said before, I feel like, and we're really going to see it here, I feel like Mo has decision paralysis. He's so scared now. He won't ever admit this. I feel like he's so scared now of the prospects he's given up that's done very well. You know, Luke Voit, Alcantara, I'm probably not saying that last name right, guys like that, Randy Arozarena.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want to give up these guys that go off and be good somewhere else that are cost effective. But then at the same time, he still wants, you know, your Nolan Arenados, your Paul Goldschmidts. He wants those guys. But since he can't decide what he wants to do, he ends up doing nothing or just getting what he can get for the lower parts of the minor leagues for the most part. I'm not saying he's made all bad trades. He's not. But that seems to be his MO, if you'll forgive me. I don't mean this as a disrespect to any players, but he's kind of a dumpster diver.
Yeah.
You know,
but really it's worked for him though. And it's worked for this organization. And one of the things, like I go back to, the 2016 Cubs, you know, when they won it all, they had so many things go right for them. Like there's no way that you can bank on every single one of your prospects hitting like they did. Like every single one of their prospects came up that year and were phenomenal. You just don't get that. Like that, for every team that does that, there's 100 others that win the World Series that are built completely different, because you can't count on the young guys like I feel like Mo has in recent years. And I think it's shown. I think that's why he went out and got Goldie. I think it's why he went out and got Arenado, because he knows that that just doesn't happen, you know? And
I think he tried that.
Yeah, I think
he did. He tried to go that route.
Yeah, he tried and it didn't work. And so then what you end up doing is you end up hoarding all of these prospects that, you know, that are good prospects, and, you know, nothing comes of it. You've got all these guys sitting around who can't really play because they don't have playing time, but they deserve a shot. You know,
because you gave $18.5 million to Matt Carpenter to strike out, you know, three times in a row.
Yeah,
the third spot. We'll get to that later if we want.
Yeah, well, you know, he makes good salsa at least, so you know,
yes.
there's that. So, but you know, I thank God though that they held on to Tyler O'Neill. Like people were telling me, you know, Tyler is nothing more than Grichuk 2.0. And I'm like,
I
no.
told you that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you said that.
Yeah.
And you know what? I hate to say I told you so, Mike, but I told you so.
No, he's done great. And I was looking at their, you know, their slashes. And he offensively is the best player on the team numbers wise.
Yep.
He doesn't have the most home runs, but when you look at average on base and slugging, dude's great. I think he's the only guy with an OPS north of 800.
Yes, he is actually. Well, it depends on how he went tonight, because I think Goldie, Arenado, and him were all three really close, but not quite there. I think they were like 797. I think so, close to 800, but not quite there
yet. Let's see. I've got the handy dandy MLB at bat, or excuse me, it's not at bat anymore. It's just MLB, the MLB app. His OPS is 872.
Okay.
After tonight, 16 home runs, 38 RBI. Goldschmidt, he's right at 800 after tonight. It's 800 even, 16 home runs. You know, and I'm not going to lie, I'm the guy that worried about Goldschmidt so bad. I'm like, man, something looks off. And now all of a sudden, he's good. Is Goldie a second-half player?
Oh, for sure. I mean, he's a notoriously slow starter. It just took him really, really long to get. Maybe it's that old body. It's just taking longer to heat up in the summertime.
Yeah. he's going to be the old man on the team before long.
Yeah. Yeah, he will be. Well, I mean, it depends on, you know, how long Yachty and Wayno want to play. So
forever.
Our good friend Tito Rivera over at Gateway City Sports, he's a co-host of Turn and Two. His dad still reads the newspapers from Puerto Rico, and there's a story in there that says that Yachty's considering, like, that there's already contract extension talks between him and the Cardinals, possibly looking at another year or two.
At some point, it's like my son and his pacifier. At some point, yep. You got to start weaning yourself off this. And it's nothing against Yachty. But, I mean, would you agree with me? The Yachty that we're seeing play today, even defensively, isn't near as good as Yachty even last year.
I would say his offense is actually better this year than last year. But his defense, you see, guys are running on him more. He's not throwing as many guys out. That's not to say he's not still the best in the game. I still think he's the best in the game. But you can see him starting to slow down. And the thing I get at is, do I want to take a known quantity or do I want to take something with a lot of promise? It's clear to me, as it was clear with Carson Kelly, they don't really view Kisner as the heir apparent. I think they're going to try to wait and give Ivan Herrera another year to fully develop, because he's down at Double A right now. I think they're going to give him another year to develop.
So is he the heir apparent then?
I would say so.
You know more about the prospects than I do. So, I mean, obviously he's not Yachty, but defensively, as far as pitch framing and stuff like that, how's he been doing?
Offensively, Herrera is way above and beyond where Yachty was at that stage in his career. One of the things that Yachty did tell him, and Herrera's really taking it to heart, was, you know, Yachty told him, look, you just need to learn to play defense. Anybody can play defense. And I think Mark Saxon was the one who talked about this last week when I had him on, is that, you know, you've got to play defense. You play defense and play it really well. You know, you can have a long career in the majors. You know, work on the hitting, you know, when you get there, which is the same thing Yachty did. I mean, he was a phenomenal defender, Gold Glove caliber when he came up, and then taught himself how to be a good hitter. You know, spent time with Albert and, you know, Albert Pujols, not Jeff Albert. Good grief.
well, he's been spending time with Jeff Alberts now.
Yeah, that's the problem. But no, he came up, spent some time with Pujols and, you know, learned how to hit. But Herrera's already got the hit tool. And that's the thing that I think separates him from Molina's. And if he can if he can hone his defensive game, I think Herrera is definitely the heir apparent to Yadi. I mean, he's got so much promise. But, you know, again, it's like with any other prospect. You know, there's no such thing as a can't-miss prospect.
So just for argument's sake, we all know they're not going to go out and sign a Yadi-level free agent catcher. We know they're not going to.
Right.
But if they were, who would that be?
Oh,
I mean, who's even going to be available at the end of the offseason?
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to look at who the free agents are. But
is it Contreras? Is Contreras?
I guess you could maybe make a case for Contreras. Contreras. I can't even talk tonight. You're right. It's getting too late.
Buster Posey, maybe.
Posey, but you know, Posey's only 3 years younger than Yadi is. You know, I think Posey's 36.
He's going back to the Giants anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what Real Muto's contract looks like, but you know, I guess you can make a case for him. But
has he got an opt out?
I think so. I'll have to look at that. Absolutely. If you're listening, I will look at that and we'll try to figure that out for next week.
I know he's done that deal with the Phillies. He went back to the Phillies.
Yeah, right? Yeah, he's with the Phillies. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm not up on my NL East rosters. So I'm still, when I talk about the NL East, I think of two players that I'm a bit sore about that the Cardinals never went after. First one being Max Scherzer, because it sounded like, if you believe the stories, Scherzer wanted to go to St. Louis.
Oh, yeah.
Wanted to come here, and they wouldn't even call him.
Yeah.
That's an egregious error, knowing what we know about Scherzer now. And then number two, I still feel like they should have taken a closer look at Bryce Harper.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially for what he signed.
Yeah. That one's a tough one for me. I was all on, you know, Bryce Harper. I was like, let's go all in on him and, you know, and sign him. But you look now and, you know, maybe that was a smart move not signing him, because O'Neill is the player that he is. You know, Carlson is coming along. He had a big night tonight. Carlson did. And actually, you know, Gene's going to hate me for saying this, but I think Bader's actually turning into quite a good player.
Well, I mean, he could. I mean, he had flashes of that before. I'm not a Bader. What I don't like about Bader is the same thing I didn't like about Martinez, except Bader didn't have it to the same level that Martinez had. Bader, for a while, looked like he was all about trying to be a superstar. I remember DeWitt brought him out when they were showing off those blue unis.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, this is our superstar for years to come. And I'm like, really?
That guy?
That's who you brought out?
This is that your guy? Face of the franchise?
Yeah, and I'm like, no, I don't think so. But, you know, he's a good center fielder. He can run. If he can get on base, he can run. Maybe these guys just need to click together. And that's the one thing about bringing in Goldie and bringing in Nato and still having Yadi is hitting is – I still believe hitting's contagious.
Yeah.
Once it starts, everybody does it, unless you're Matt Carpenter. So
yeah. he's the one exception. He's like the unicorn.
Yeah, so when everyone else is slumping, he's like, hey, guys, I just hit 338 over the last week.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
And then everybody else starts hitting, and he's like, oh, I forgot how to swing a bat.
Exactly. That's the – and I know we're getting off on a tangent. It tore me up. I think – who did I see do that? It was Bader. Bader did the same thing. One thing these guys need to do is be more aggressive at the plate, and Carpenter is the worst. He will look at that fastball down the middle, first pitch, every single time.
Oh, yeah.
I hadn't seen any at-bats tonight, so I don't know what he did. But if history's any guide, it'll be like, that was a great pitch. I better not swing at that. This one's way outside. Let me just hack in the dirt.
Yeah, see, and the book's out on him, and I think that's the problem. You know, when he came up, he was a line drive hitter. He would hit it to all fields. I think he fell in love with the home run, started to become a pole hitter. People started playing him, you know, playing the shift on him. And, you know, they know how to pitch to him. You know, give him a first pitch strike, he's not going to swing at it because he wants to see as many pitches as possible.
And it's not entirely his fault when you think about it too, Brian, because, you know, Holiday left after 2016. Mm-hmm. Was it? Yeah, 2016. They didn't really have anybody, so they put him in the three spot.
Yeah.
They're like, listen, you're the guy we're going to count on.
Well, who else were they going to count on?
Exactly. There's nobody else. And I honestly, I don't even remember who they could have even looked at the time to bring anybody over. So, I mean, it's not entirely his fault. He was trying to be something. He was trying to be what the team asked him to be, and then he forgot what he was.
Yeah.
And it's part of the reason why I wish, you know, I don't think he's ever coming back to the game because he seems quite happy at home. But when Mark McGwire was a hitting coach, those guys tore it up.
Yeah.
I mean, tore it up. And say what you want to about Mark and the PEDs, the dude knew how to hit a ball.
Oh, not only did he know how to hit a ball, he knew how to coach others to hit a ball.
Yes.
And that to me, like, I think he was the most underrated portion of the Tony La Russa teams. You know, like the 2011 team, you know, when they won the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
McGwire, I think, was the most underrated member of that coaching staff because, I mean, yeah, you had guys like, you know, Holiday and Pujols and
Beltran.
It would have been Berkman then. But yeah, you had guys like, you know, Berkman and Pujols and Holiday, and you know, so you got like good hitters, like generational talent type hitters, but he got the entire offense to click. And that's what I think was most impressive to me about McGwire is, you know, he took guys that you wouldn't think could hit or be productive, and he's like, oh no, this guy can hit. Let me work with him a little bit. And
when
then
did
it
he
happened.
So he was there, he came back in 2010, he was there 2011. Mm-hmm. I know he was there the first year Matheny was there.
Right. He
did
left
he leave after 2012?
He left after I believe he left after 2012. And he left to be, you know, closer
Dodgers.
To home. Yeah, he went to the Dodgers to be closer to home. And I think, didn't he spend some time with the Padres there for a while?
Yeah, that was the last place he was at. And I think he worked with, oh my goodness. I don't know if he worked with anybody but Will Myers on that team. Because that team's almost entirely different except for Will Myers.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
So I don't know. I still wish he would come back and just manage the Cardinals. He is never going to be respected anywhere except St. Louis, is my personal opinion. So
yep, absolutely. Oh man. So
tangents. Yeah.
I love tangents. Speaking of tangents, we're going to get off on one now. But it's actually something I wanted to do this week, and I think we'll go ahead and end the show with this. So I sent out a call to everybody, Facebook, you know, Twitter, everywhere, and I said, "Hey, I want to know, cuz you know, Yakker Jacks, we just like to goof off sometimes and, you know, have a little bit of fun. We're just, you know, a couple of dudes talking sports and you know, so I wanted to talk about like the funniest, craziest, weirdest superstitions or pregame rituals that anybody could come up with. And I'll start it off. I knew of a guy. This was when I was in high school. One of the guys that pitched, he would always have like a handful of Taco Bell hot sauce packets, you know, in his bag. And on the days that he was supposed to pitch, he would rip one open and just, you know, guzzle it. And he felt like every time he did that he pitched a good game.
Taco shots?
Yeah, taco sauce shots. Yeah. So that's one. Do you have any?
So this one is just has to do with the Cardinals and me, and it's my wife's fault. At the time we were dating. And at this point, she's just used to my obsession with baseball and the Cardinals. But she pointed out to me, she's like, you notice whenever you watch them play, they lose. And look, she said that, and I started noticing, for whatever reason, when I watched them play, even if they were ahead, I remember seeing one game, I don't remember who it was against, maybe the Mets or somebody. And I remember watching them play. they were up by like 7 runs. And by the end of the game, they lost like 10-7 or something like that.
Oh, no.
And I went back, and then I started paying attention to the games I couldn't watch or couldn't listen to or whatever the case is, and they were winning those. And they got stuck in my head. So I didn't want to watch a Cardinals game for like 2 years. Because I am very superstitious about that, because whenever I played ball, it was always – I don't have anything cool from there. It was just always like, oh, you know, I'm doing well. I'm not going to wash my socks or, you know, something like that.
Yeah, you don't wash your socks. Don't wash your jock strap.
Yeah. You know, just nasty guy things. You know, because I told my wife about that once, and she's like, boys are weird. I was like, well, you don't mess with the – and there is science backing this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's not actually superstitions, but – you mentally, you're like, okay, I've got this. I want to do well. So you do well.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? A buddy of mine, Kyle, his name's Kyle Triplett. So, Kyle, I'm giving you a shout out, man. His wife washed his ball cap.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. It's like, no, you don't touch the ball cap. You can't touch the ball cap. But yeah, there's all kinds of crazy things out there. My buddy, Mike, who was he was my catcher in high school when I was pitching, and he two things from Mike. The first one was, you know, he reminded me of Wade Boggs used to eat chicken, like fried chicken, before every game. oddly enough, my Uncle Charlie has the recipe for Wade Boggs's chicken.
That's funny.
So, yeah. So, if you guys want it, shoot me a DM or, you know, look me up on Facebook. We'll get you the recipe to Wade Boggs' chicken.
But, you know, Wade Boggs sounds like a chicken shack.
It does.
Welcome to Wade Boggs.
It does. Totally.
He should do a chicken shack.
He should. And he could serve Boggs sauce.
Oh, yeah.
That would be awesome.
Get bogged down in Boggs.
Yeah.
That's his catch line. Come get bogged down.
Absolutely. But the other thing that Mike did was he had this pregame ritual where, like, no joke, legit, every time we had a game, he would go to the bathroom and he would just sit there until he took a dump every time. and so, you know, one day I was like, you know what, maybe I'll join him. So I went into the next stall over, and here he is, you know, doing his thing, and I'm doing my thing, and you know, we get done, we get to the ball field, and I kid you not, I pitched the best game of my life that day. Like, oh, I had like 15 strikeouts, and I was like, you know what, I think I'm gonna have to, you know, go poop before every game too. But yeah, man, yeah, Mike did that before every single game, and you know, it's funny, I reminded him about that. He's like, yeah, I still perform my pregame ritual daily.
Going to your business meeting, best business meeting ever.
That's right. That's right. Well,
whatever the case might be. Well, sweet. No, I don't. I wish I had cool stuff like that. I don't. That's, yeah. Man, I can't even imagine what my wife's face would be. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, we can't do whatever it is we're about to do until I go in there and take a dump. Like, what? She would probably just roll her eyes and go, whatever.
I cannot work in the nursery at church until I go sit down for a minute.
Yeah, I got to drop the other kids off at the pool, honey. Just hold on.
There you go.
Be all right. Be okay.
How about good old Moises Alou? Used to pee on his hands before every game.
I didn't know that. That's disgusting.
Yeah, he would pee on his hands because he didn't wear batting gloves. So he would pee on his hands thinking it would harden his skin. And he did that instead of wearing batting gloves. I mean, like, sorry, buddy. I'm not high-fiving you after the game. Matter of fact, if you touch that ball, throw it out. I'm not going anywhere near it.
High five this can of Lysol, yo. It's no.
Yeah.
No. No, I didn't. I don't know any. There was another one of those. There's a book called The Unwritten Rules of Baseball. And, or no, it's called The Baseball Codes. It was about the unwritten rules. And there was, oh my gosh. I don't even know why I brought it up. I can't remember the story, but there was a story in there about a superstition. I can't remember who it was, but it was like a dude would count like the laces on a baseball before he could throw it. You know, something crazy like that. It's, I should be better prepared for this stuff. This is your fault again.
Yeah, it's all
we were talking about.
It's all my fault. I didn't tell you ahead of time. Derek King, he shared this one. Jason Giambi, when he was in a slump, admitted to wearing a golden thong to the ballpark in order to break out of a slump.
That's a very Jason Giambi thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, what? But, you know, Derek acts like it's something weird. I mean, who doesn't walk around in a golden banana hammock all the time? I mean,
me. I was at the Home Depot today looking at grass seed, and I was like, this is a better day because, you know, I'm suited up. I'm ready to go.
That's right. Oh, man, the world would be a better place if we all wore golden thongs.
Oh, I don't know. I can think of some people that don't even need it.
No. Yeah, no. I've been to Walmart enough times. I don't need to see any more of that mess.
Oh, you see some. It's not just Walmart. I'm in and out of Lowe's and Home Depot's all over North Tennessee. You see some odd stuff. I saw a lady wearing overalls, a sports bra underneath, and then she had this snake. And I'm making this up. She had a snake hanging out the front of it, and she was feeding this snake.
Like an actual legit snake?
Yeah, a legit snake.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like, no.
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 I'm good. I'm good, yeah.
Like she probably is. No. I just looked at her, and she looked back at me, and like, is like, why are you looking at me? And I'm like, because you're odd. That's why. You're odd. What are you doing?
Because you're half naked under your coveralls and you have a snake hanging out of your chest.
If you come to Nashville, I don't know how it is in Missouri. In Nashville, my man, odd ducks. It is like the hipster capital of the world.
Oh, it's that and weird anywhere you go. I'm actually in Southern Illinois, and we get some weirdos here. I mean, oh, man, I have stories I could tell, but most of them aren't family-friendly, so I'll keep them off the air here.
Got to keep it PG.
Yeah, I got to keep it PG for the kids. You know, my kids listen to this show, so I got to make sure it's not too bad. I don't want to say anything that would embarrass my wife or my mom, so.
I've done that. You know, it's all right.
Yep. Awesome. Well, hey, Mike, I want to thank you for joining me today. This has been fun.
I've got one thing I want you to do. I'm going to let you borrow a segment from my show.
Okay.
Okay? Hold on. That's not it. Sorry. Hold on. Okay. You ready?
I'm ready.
Now, let's take a look back at some of the finer, awful moments of the Cubs history. And this week in the Cubs suck.
Yes. That's my my late, great, dearly departed stepdad. But why do the Cubs suck this week?
Why do the Cubs suck? The Cubs suck because they can't play defense. Four errors in this game. That was phenomenal. And the Cubs also suck because my son had a friend over to spend the night the other night, and he brought over a big freaking Cubs blanket. That's why they suck.
He did that on purpose.
He did. You know, my wife looked at it, and she's like, what are you doing? My son immediately, he took it and flipped it over, and it has just white fleece on the back. He's like, what are you talking about? It's just a plain white blanket. I'm like, no, give it here so I can burn it.
Oh, I love doing that. I had my stepdad record that literally, I think it was like a month before he passed.
Oh, so wow.
I have to do that now, like all the time, every chance I get. In the original one that I recorded earlier in an episode no one's going to hear because I actually made it on your show, I said the Cubs suck because they could probably trade away all their star players and it's very likely we'll still finish with similar records. So, yes, the Cubs suck for that.
You know, sadly.
But that was me being a pessimist.
Sadly, you're probably right.
So, but, yeah, no, it's been a blast, man. Thanks for having me on. And I always enjoy doing this better with co-hosts. I can blather on for like 30 minutes on my own, but that kind of gets boring after a while.
Yeah, it does. But it's good, and I love it. You know, maybe we'll have to do some more of this because, honestly, this is more what I had in mind for the show. You know, just dudes talking sports, you know, having a good time, just laughing and having a good time. So, hey, Mike, again, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
No problem, dude.
I'm going to let you go and go enjoy the wife and the kid and have a good night, my friend.
Will do. You do the same.
Awesome. Thank you. So I want to thank you guys for being here this week again. I want to thank again my good buddy Mike Stevenson for being on here. And as we said, we put out the call for all of your crazy and fun, you know, superstitions and rituals, and we're going to give away a free coffee mug. And so the one that I like the best, I think the one that really stood out to me, was Moises Alou peeing on his hands. That was, I think that's the one I liked the most. So there were a few guys that sent that in, but I'm going to give it to the first one that responded with that, and that is Alex Foltz. So Alex, thank you for sending that in, and we will get you your free Yakker Jacks coffee mug. So thank you guys once again for being here. Be sure that you check out all of the great content we have on GatewayCitySports.com, as well as the other shows on the Gateway City Sports Podcast Network, 2 for 3 with Mike Stevenson, Team of Rivals with Ron Nuttall and his buddies, and then you've got the Derek King Sports Show and Turn In 2. So guys, have a great week. Be blessed, be safe, and we'll see you next week.